Every single day I feel the
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get arrested. Yeah. Working like I never know I'm blessed. Yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Hey, welcome back to That One Studios on the What Are You Made Of show. It's your boy, C-Rock, in the building. I have a great guest for you today. Leslie McShane's in the building. Guys, I want to thank you first, though, for being here. Thank you for keep coming back. If you're new here, welcome. We're going to bring you guests and share what they're made of, the ingredients that have gone into making them, exposing the journey to success, which is mostly invisible, and helping inspire you to reach for your potential, whether it's in business and relationships or just your life in general, to live the life of your dreams. And so Leslie McShane is here, and she is an advocate for all things midlife health and wellness. She's a podcaster, writer, author, and ACSM certified personal trainer who is fully committed to encouraging middle-aged women to prioritize the fitness and nutrition now to feel better and live happier longer. She hosts an awesome podcast, Redesigning Midlife, where she and her guests talk about embracing the empowerment of middle life and the realization that it is never too late to feel amazing. Her mission to help women discover that everything they need to create an epic and healthy second half of life already lives inside of them. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm so excited to be here. And we were talking before the show. It's kind of like, it's strange that we hooked up. And I love the way that we hooked up. You know, one of the people that works with you, his wife listens to my show. And so, this is different for me, and I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, look, we do things a little differently than most. We're one, not afraid to reach out to people. That's one thing, because we just know that everything that we all need, other people have. And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about the energy, the connection, right? And so we've done amazing things doing it this way, and I'm going to continue and lean into it and teach people how to do this. So Leslie, let's ask this question before I forget.
<'Cause we had talked laughs> you won't forget. About this.
Leslie, what are you made of?
You know, when I first heard that I was going to be asked this question, the first thing that came to my mind is I am made of courage. You know, I've listened to, you know, several of your episodes, and I've heard a lot of people say that they are made of grit and determination, which are great things. But I think before you begin to use grit and determination, you have to have a certain level of courage to even take the first step, to be gritty, to be determined. You have to have something within you that will allow you to make a change, whether that is to start something or to end something or to start a process or change a job or become who you were supposed to be. You know, you have to have courage, basically. And I think that is what I'm made of, because I have stepped into that in my midlife.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Courage is so important, man. And you know, courage comes from being able to take action in uncertainty, right?
Right, right. You have to know that you might succeed, but you might fail. But if you don't do anything, everything's going to stay the absolute same.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have this thing. I don't care about failing. I really don't, because succeeding to me is getting the goal or getting data that I can collect from a failure. That's a data collection. That's always think failure, data collection, right? And then taking it, using that data to go and get to the goal that I was originally going. Or this is what people miss, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Or quitting. Yes, I say quitting, because quitting isn't a bad thing. It's what you quit is a bad thing. Or a good thing. Quitting and then going after and readjusting the goal or changing it altogether. So what are your thoughts on the word quit?
That's interesting. There are a couple of words that I don't like. Can't is one of them. I can't do something. But quit is definitely another one. And quitting is not in my nature. You know, sometimes you have to stop doing something in order to like you said, reevaluate and come at something a different way. I don't really think that that is quitting per se. But if you just give up, and drop, you know, you're walking along and you just drop everything and you not learning something from it, that is quitting. You have to learn something from every single situation that you are in. And if you're learning something, then you are failing forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So let me take me back. Like, what's your story? Where did it all start for you as a young lady? Where did you grow up? What was it like for you growing up? Where did you grow up and all that? What's the story?
I'm a Kentucky girl. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I've lived here my whole life. And, you know, I always had aspirations of moving away from Kentucky because, you know, everybody wants to be something grand. But the plan for me ended up being here. And I started my career in public television. I learned from a very early age that I enjoyed being entertained and educated at the same time. And so when I started my career, I started in public television and in children's television. And I kind of followed that path into working in immersive museum theaters. So I've done a lot of museum media through the years for the last 25 years or so. But when I turned, or when I was close to turning 50, you know, we all kind of go through this. I'm not going to call it a midlife crisis because everybody thinks of the words midlife crisis in a negative way. But a lot of times when women are entering their midlife time, you know, maybe their kids are getting ready to leave or their kids have left, they kind of do a reevaluation of where am I? Am I doing the thing that I always wanted to do? You know, I've always been in film and television production, and I love those things. But I found as I was turning 50 and my life was kind of going into a new phase that I was telling everybody else's stories. I wasn't telling my story. I wasn't using my creativity to get those things out of me that I felt like I needed to be sharing with people. And so I did that. I started a blog. You know, I had to overcome the whole, you know, you get into a rut in your life and, you know, you follow a certain path and that is safe. Speaking in my own voice, I had to overcome a lot of imposter syndrome and limiting beliefs of, you know, nobody's going to care about what I'm doing or what will people think when they read some of the things that I'm writing about. But that blog kind of led into my podcast and speaking to other women, because I was getting a lot of feedback from women who were in the same place, who were kind of like, yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. You know, I want to reinvent myself as well. And so I went down that path. And then it's kind of like, you know, I could talk all day about all things being midlife, but what do I want to focus on? What do I want to educate people on? I've been an athlete my whole life. I raced bicycles for 17 years. You know, I'm a former national champion. And I'm kind of like, my nutrition and being fit and active allow me to live my best midlife. And when you look around, you see a lot of other women who want to, but can't, don't know how, can't get motivated, feel lazy. And so I decided to use my lane and my podcast to help these women figure out that, of course they can, because, you know, can't is not one of my favorite words. Of course they can. And they have everything inside them. You know, they just have to decide. And so that's what I talk about on my podcast. And that's what I work with women one-on-one to do. And that's what's led me here.
Well, when you decided to start doing this, when you started decided to start sharing your story and then speaking mm-hmm. about some things. Don't you feel like when we get that urge, it's kind of an obligation because a lot of people are experiencing the things that you're going to talk about because you're going through them. They are experiencing them too. Mm-hmm. But we have this intuitive thing that tells us we got to go speak about it. So we got to go do that because some people aren't willing to do that. And then that's when they love hearing other people. Hey, they're actually speaking about what they're speaking to me.
Right.
Like you actually speak to that person, even though you're broadcasting, right?
Right.
So did you notice that? Like, did you feel like a sense of obligation? I know I do.
Yeah. You know, and before I started my podcast, I was listening to a lot of podcasts so I was kind of on the other side of that. I was listening to people who were, you know, doing personal development podcasts. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, this whole imposter syndrome, I didn't even know what that was until I heard a woman on a podcast describing what imposter syndrome was. And I was like, that is totally me. You know,
What is that description?
Oh, when you want to do something, you have the skill, you have the knowledge to be able to do a thing, to lead people, to tell people about something, but you have that fear that you aren't enough, that what you say doesn't really mean anything and that someone else can do it better. And it's better if somebody else takes the lead on that. You have to break outside of that and realize who you are, what experience you have, what kind of voice that you have, and put it to use. And so that's, you know, that's what I ended up doing on my podcast. And you know, there are still some days where you doubt yourself. I mean, we're all humans. There are still days that we doubt ourselves. But then you hear from somebody who says, you know, I feel like you're speaking to me. And that means everything because hopefully you're making a difference for them and getting them to a place where they need to be.
Yeah. Can you take us to the point where you decided to start a podcast and what would that mental process was like when you finally decided to do it? And then what has it done for you since you've had a podcast?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I had the blog and I was writing this blog and I have a friend who has a podcast and he was reading the blog and we were out on a bike ride one day and he rode up next to me and he said, you know, I love your blog, but I think you should turn that into a podcast. And it was nothing that had ever crossed my mind. I was listening to podcasts, but it never crossed my mind that that would be something that I would be able to do. I mean, who am I to think that I could do that? But then I'm like a rat on a Cheeto. Sometimes when an idea gets in my head, I just start like gnawing at it and I can't stop thinking about it and researching it and Googling it and seeing what it would take and how hard would it be? How much time would it take? How much money would it take? You know, 3 years ago, I sat down at my kitchen counter and I said, okay, I guess I'm going to do this thing. I ordered a microphone. You know, starting a podcast doesn't take hardly anything. Anybody mm-hmm. can do it. As long as you have something constructive that people want to listen to, you know. So I sat down, I filled out all the forms on my little podcast place and there you go. A podcast was born.
And what has happened for you since you started? I assume you go on other shows consistently too, besides your own show as a guest?
I do go on other shows. You know, like anything, I work another job. This is kind of like a side thing for me. This is a labor of love for me. I'm not making a living doing this. I just want to help other women find the power that they have inside. So, you know, when it comes to creating this thing, I might not have a ton of time. So I don't actively go out and try to be on other people's podcasts. Sometimes I'm lucky enough, like today, to find myself on yours, you know? I'm just kind of like following the breadcrumbs.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Now, do you have a vision of being someone that's known for what you do though? Like becoming not for ego, but for reach, I would call it, and creating an attraction model. Do you have a vision of becoming like a celebrity in your space?
Well, who doesn't? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Of course, I would love to be someone that people look to find motivation to be a better person. I mean, who wouldn't want to have that as a legacy to leave behind, you know? Is it going to happen? I don't know. It might. It, you know, if it's happening with one person here and two people here, that's just as great, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but can you visualize this, like Leslie McShane on the cover of a magazine that talks about helping women going through midlife, and she's just this star for helping people. Like this is the kind of stuff that goes through my head, by the way. Like, I think and it's not for ego. Like, I don't get off from that, but it's like, I know that if that happens, that I have an attraction model where I can help as many people as I want to, the most impact. And I'm always saying to myself, Leslie, like, let me see how far I can take this thing. I believe that, like, I believe in God, and I believe that we've all been given this ability, and I don't want to waste any of it, you know? So I want to see how far I get. So yeah, I just was thinking about that. I, by the way, when I'm on this show, I don't have any scripted questions. I don't write anything down. I just, whatever comes to me, I say. So
You're good. Yeah. And hell yeah, I would love to be on the front of a magazine. Who wouldn't? I would love to take that magazine and show my mom and say, see?
Uh-huh. Yep. All right. Well, let's put that in motion. Like, we just put that out there, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, like, and I don't know if you talk about this and all that with your coaching and all that, but like, isn't it true that we don't even need to know how to do things sometimes? We just got to put it out there, and then it starts the wheels in motion.
Sure. You have to say it out loud. If it's in your head, it's never going to happen. You have to either say it out loud and hear it yourself, or you have to write it down and read it back to yourself. There's something about using a couple of your senses to make that energy just kind of like explode out of your body. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Totally believe
that. I think perceptions feed off of our senses, you know? And so we got to create that, like you're talking about, with touch, feel, voice, hearing it. Yeah, all that. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right. So, going through life, mm-hmm. what has been the most challenging time of your life?
Most challenging time of my life. Well, I would have to say probably my early 20s. I have been married for 27 years, but prior to, thank you. But prior to that marriage, I was married to someone else. Now I grew up small town, Kentucky, you know, Southern Baptist, everything right with the world, you know? But when I was 20, I fell in lust with, I won't say love because it was pretty fast. I fell in love with someone and I got married like in 6 weeks, you know. And everything was great until it wasn't. And this person that I married decided that they liked someone else better and, you know, had an affair. And, you know, when you're 20 years old, you come from a small town and you're not used to these things. And, you know, you put all your faith and trust into everybody you know in your little town. And then when someone you love or you think you love betrays that trust, it makes a big, big impact on your life. For years and years. I would say going through that and figuring out who I was on the other side and not letting it break me were probably some of the hardest years of my life.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, how long did it take you to begin, and how important is it to be able to trust again and not take it out on the other people that could be providing you with what you need in life in the future? Because somebody did that to you.
Yeah. You know, I probably could have gotten through it faster if I had seen a therapist. And if I could go back in time, I would totally do that. But I didn't. I didn't at the time. And, you know, I didn't meet and start dating my future husband until, I don't know, 5 years later. And I think that it's still, it was something that in the early years of our relationship, I had to work through because, you know, it was hard for me to trust him because all men I was in love that I, you know, fell in love with, they were all going to have an affair, you know? And it took a long time for me to be convinced and for him to be okay with, you know, this isn't about me, that he had to come to that realization that this whole thing that she's going through, it's not about me. And I'm going to help her through this.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that topic too, like, you know, in midlife, a lot of this stuff happens in midlife when kids, women's kids start to leave the nest and they've had a great marriage, but maybe it wasn't great because they thought it was great. But when the kids leave, they'd realize it was all about the kids and they didn't work on themselves. How often do you talk about this and run into this with the women that you're helping?
More than I thought that I would. You know, midlife and making a pivot in midlife, I always thought it was going to be more about career. But more and more I hear about women who need to make pivots in the relationship. And it might not just be in their marriages. It might be with friends they've had for a long time. You know, a lot of us, we're friends with parents of, you know, friends of parents of our kids, and now our kids are gone. And so we find that we don't have anything in common with them. It was our kids, just like it might be in our, you know, spousal relationships or partner relationships. So yeah, it's definitely a thing. And, you know, as far as your partner and going through life, it's kind of like, if you know your kids are on the horizon, they're getting ready to leave, you need to start working on that relationship and investing in that relationship years before they leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you need to go back to, you know, they're teenagers anyway. They don't want to be around you anyway at that point. You know, they got their things. You need to come back to your partner and you need to remember what it was that you were interested in and what you loved about them in the beginning, how you have both changed, things that you can do together, and spend time communicating. Communication is key is my mantra in my house. Communication is key. So yeah, start working on it years before your kids leave and grow old together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing we were talking about, other relationships and friends and all that, when we stopped going out after dinner, like when I say going out partying kind of thing, it's like we used to go out after dinner and to a bar, band, DJ, whatever, and with other couples, right? Well, when we stopped doing that, because it's like, what are we doing? Like, what's the point? Let's go to a nice dinner. Let's have a drink, maybe a couple glasses of wine, and then go home. And you know, when we started doing that, we started losing the friends that we used to hang out with. And to the point where it's like, I looked at my wife the other day, I'm like, I have a lot of relationships because of my brand and the people that I know, like all over the country and the world, but like locally, I know a lot of people, but it's like, we don't hang out with anybody. It's like, cause exactly kind of what you're talking about. You make decisions for what you want to do in your life, your relationship, and then it affects those relationships.
Yeah.
So yeah, I noticed that. And now we'll go to dinner sometimes with some people, but it's like, it's just not the same as it used to be, you know?
Well, that's why you have to go out and forge new friendships. There's nothing that says that you're too old to go make new friends.
Right, right.
So you go make new friends in something else that you're interested in. You know, maybe just for example, say maybe you've just found the sport of pickleball. And everything is about pickleball and you love pickleball. Then join a club that's in your area. Meet some other friends, some new friends who have the same new interests that you do. Then you start hanging out with them. You'll be friends.
Do you run into this though? Like, with some of the people you're working with, where the husband will have his friends, but the wife doesn't like the other wife or vice versa?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it. Oh man, this dude's cool. I like hanging out with this guy. We golf and all that. Let's go out to dinner with him and his wife. And then my wife and his wife won't like hit it off, or vice versa. My wife will have a friend and I'll go to dinner and her, I just don't have anything in common with her husband.
Yeah. Well, that's when you just go hang out with just him. Yeah. You just plan things to do with him.
Yeah. So it's kind of difficult. I'm thinking about this, like bringing this up. It's like difficult to have couples that both of you connect with, because you definitely don't want to have a situation where the husband gets along with the other wife and you don't have to mess things up, you know?
No,
so it's difficult, you know? So anyway, what's the vision from here? Where are you taking this thing? Like, where do you really see things going from here?
You know, like I said, I'm just kind of following the breadcrumbs. I'm just having fun. You know, everything doesn't have to have an end game. Sometimes you just play in the game and score takes care of itself, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's my answer to that. I really don't have a vision for it right now. Is that strange? Is that strange to hear? Because I would assume everybody comes on is like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to rule the world and I want to do that.
I think it's more like, you know, if you identify a mission and then you're making decisions with your thoughts, words, actions, and the people you hang around that are going towards that mission. Long as you have that, that's a direction. But if you don't know that part, then you should have some kind of end thing, because you need to have some kind of direction. But if you have a direction, which you have a mission, that's different. You know what I mean? So
yes, but I definitely have a mission.
But I will tell you though, life is cool when you can clearly identify something that you're going after, and the clearer, the better. And that could even be just a feeling that you want to have. It could be just like, look, I want to live my life as happy and fulfilled as possible. And this is what it feels like. And you focus on that feeling. And then what happens when you focus on that feeling, your attention starts to go towards things that like that support that feeling, not give you, because you decide to have the feeling, but give support to that feeling. So yeah, I love it. Now, what do you do for a job? You said you work like a regular job too.
Well, like I said, I am still in the production business. I've been freelance for 35 years. I just finished up the World War II museum updates in New Orleans, and now working on an Alamo museum and a New Jersey Hall of Fame museum. And so, you know,
but when you go through that though, like what are you doing with the production of that? Like they have a museum and then you're doing the promo for it, promo videos or commercials or what is it?
No. So like if you go to a museum and you walk in and there's like a big intro theater and you go in and you sit down and they kind of present to you what's going to be, what you're going to see in the museum. We produce those films and all the media pieces. As you go through the exhibits, if you see like a film on this thing, do that. So
I just went to the Bible Museum in DC with my wife this last weekend.
Oh, did you really?
Museum of the Bible. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. I think it was like six floors. Yeah. It was like 40,000 square feet or 400,000 square feet. I can't remember. Something. It was huge.
I actually worked on that for a little while.
Did you? Because I was going to say they had a lot of videos. Yeah, early on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I worked on it early on when they were still in kind of their pre-pro phase. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
So, it's been very rewarding to help tell the stories. Museums are wonderful things. You know, if you go, I used to coach a cycling team, and I was having a meeting with one of the kids once, and he was like, I hate history. I hate history class. I was like, you hate history. History is real. You know, some of these films and video games that you play, that stuff's not real. Mm-hmm. History, when you go to a museum to learn about something, this stuff actually happened. This stuff actually has affected everything that you deal with every single day. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting if you look at it in that way.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I, like, we go to museums and I love it. Like, I love reading all that. Like, most people just go through and look at some stuff. I love taking the time to read some of the stuff. Uh-huh. And yeah, it was amazing. It was really, and they had a section, I don't know if you know this, but they had a section where, and I'm intrigued by this part, how spirituality and science are coming together and aligning in a lot of areas. And that's been separate for so long. And now it's starting to realize, and with quantum resonance and quantum physics and mechanics, they're starting to understand, like, wow, hold on, there might be something outside of the brain and, and spirit, you know. So it's interesting, and I get a kick out of that stuff. So all right, so here's the thing, guys. Leslie, first of all, thank you for being here. All of you, go check out Leslie's podcast, which is called Redesigning Midlife. Todd Armstrong, my partner's wife, is listening to it. So you should listen to it and go, you know, give her some feedback on what you're hearing from it too, as well. Where's the best place for them to engage with you besides the podcast, Leslie?
Besides the podcast, probably you could go to my website, which is leslielmcshane.com. That's LeslieLmcshane.com. Everything is there. Or you can follow me on Instagram, and I'm at leslielmcshane.
All right. Thank you so much, Leslie, for being here. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on. I so enjoyed this.
All right. Hang tight. Okay. Thank you all for listening or watching, however you're consuming this content. It's your boy C-Rock here from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, be that one. Check one, check two, go on, yeah, this business, no wonder.